Blog Talk Radio. so love that song. Welcome everybody to Journey Into the Light. We are the world. We can make the difference. Gosh, I wish people listened to that song and really listen to the words of the song and let it go within. Don't just, you know, listen. Maybe it's not a good time to do this if you're driving or something like that. But when you have time, I know that song has been out for a long time, but it's so powerful and meaningful even right today, and even more so today. And it has been throughout our lives, different spots, more than, but it's always powerful. And if you, I just want to say, if you believe in that, and if you believe in helping others, please join our homeless project on Journey Into the Light that Jennifer Taylor, my co-host on LA Talk Radio, who runs Quantum Touch Healing Modality, has started back in December. And over the weekend, I went out and helped some more homeless people, and I love doing it. And it's an honor to meet those people, and I've yet to run across any so-called bad people, as Trump would say. But it's people, you know, there's people who just fall through the cracks, and we can say, well, we got this program, that program, that program. Okay, that's not the thing. Is will we open up our hearts? Will we? That's the answer. As Daniel Brinkley said, you know, in his near-death experiences, and I'm so glad that Sonic Nova is going to be talking about near-death experiences tonight, because in our near-death experience, we have a life review, and that life review is not about others. It's about us and what we did and what we didn't do. And that's how I see it. When I'm out there helping the homeless people, I don't judge who to help and who not to help. I don't want to see my life review where there was someone really of need, or maybe there was an angel disguised as a homeless person and testing me. So please, while I'm mentioning this, please join our GoFundMe on our Journey in Light homeless project. The link is right here on the show page. All you got to do is click on it, and you can make a donation right from there. And you'll be very glad you did. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. For those who have supported, it's not easy, but that's why we need your help. So, okay. We got a great show lined up for you this hour, as Sonic Nova is our guest, as I said, and psychic medium, remote viewer, healer. And if you want to speak to Sonic here on this show, dial on into the show at 347-884-8245. Press the 1 on your phone to come aboard. And we do have the chat room now back open. So if you go in the chat room, put in your first name and area code, we'll bring you up as some of the first callers tonight. So it's a great place to be and get connected and say hello and meet people. And you can chat to me also while the show's going on. So very cool. So we've already got people already in there. We got Sherry in there, the Love Channel. Pudge is in there and guest. And so there we go. All right, let's go to our phone lines and let's bring in our guest, Sonic Nova, back to Journey of Light. Welcome back, Sonic. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing great. How are you? Good to be here.
Yeah, good to be here. Yeah, good to have you here. And I love the topics tonight, near-death experience.
I'm glad. I thought I would text them to you, make it a little easier, and we could just get right into
that. Yeah,
sure.
Right. Sounds great. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Please.
I was just going to say the same to you. Go ahead with the, is this near-death experiences you have had? Yes.
Twice.
Okay.
Two times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So,
well, tell us about them. And yeah.
All right.
Great.
And I did, it was very transformative. A couple of, I think it was last week. I did it on an interview. Somebody was interviewing me on YouTube. And it was very transformative. And what I shared, I think, is very important for people to get, because we get very, you know, we get very myopic being in these physical bodies. And we forget that we came here to actually not just have an experience with everybody around us, but we really came here and to have a lesson plan, okay? It's almost like I feel like Earth is a school, okay? It's a spiritual, physical, it embodies all the aspects, and it's rare for somebody to come into a planet where you can have all those experiences simultaneously. So I want you to keep that in mind. So I had these very young, my first experience, and I remember the whole thing. I was 5 years old, Mike, and I gave myself, I want to be really clear about this, I gave myself an appendix attack. My appendix was perfectly fine because I wanted attention from my parents. And as you know, I'm a medical intuitive, and I actually have telekinesis skills, so I use my telekinetic skills to screw up my appendix, which is really self-destructive. You know, I'll admit this to everybody. But nonetheless, I achieved my goal and gave myself a pretty damn good appendix attack. It was a Saturday morning. I remember it clearly. And I was crying, and I was whining and not feeling very good. And My dad was home because he's there on the weekends, and my mom was there too, so he wasn't work. And they came up, and I had a really high fever. I was really in pain. My dad asked me where the pain was, and I said, it's down here, and he touched it, and I literally, like, screamed. You know, I was in so much pain, and they rushed me to they called our doctor, and the doctor said, I'll meet you at the hospital. It was the American British Hospital in Mexico City, which is where I was born and raised, and my dad and my mom got in the car, got me in the back of the car. They rushed me over there. Unfortunately, by the time we got there, my appendix actually erupted. So the doctor, you know, did a little bit of, he checked my fever was super high. He checked my abdomen. He could barely touch it. He told my parents as they were, you know, taking me, hauling me into the operating room, and I heard him say this, you know, he basically said, you know, if the appendix is erupted, we are going to have to watch her very carefully because she could get peritonitis, which is the perineum gets infected with the stuff that was in the appendix. And so they ran me in there. They did the operation successfully. They knocked me out. They brought me back out. And when I came back to, which was about probably 2 hours later, and my parents were waiting in the hospital room for me, at that point, I was kind of groggy. I came back to, and the doctor came into into the hospital room and told my parents. He said, you got to keep an eye on her for 24 hours. The appendix did erupt. There may be some fecal matter, you know, that we weren't able to get because we couldn't find it. And they cut a pretty good size incision on me. I can still see it. And they sewed me up with cat gut, which I can't absorb cat gut, so that wasn't good. You know, so I had two problems there. And so my parents took me back home, and the doctor said if within 24 hours she has a really high fever, this area down in the perineum, down in her lower right part of her stomach is really inflamed, you need to bring her back to the hospital because she could have a internal infection, and that's very dangerous. So, you know, instead of the doctor saying, why don't you stay here with her for 24 hours, let's check her out, you know, that was kind of stupid, but, you know, because it's a minor operation, that's what they did. So they drove me back home, and, you know, here we are, like, Sunday at about when the operation was finished, about 2 o'clock. It was right before we were supposed to all have dinner is what I remember, or, you know, we ate a big dinner at 3 o'clock. And I started getting really sick, and I started having a really high fever, and my mom came to check me before I'll have dinner. And my parents were already eating, and my mom came in, and she checked me, and I had a really high fever. She went down to tell my dad, and they called the doctor, and the doctor said, bring her right in. So I guess they got to sort of eat their dinner, and they drove me back to the hospital. And long story short, the doctor checked me. He said, you know, she does have an infection. And they didn't know. At the time, none of us knew that I was really allergic to penicillin, like deadly. Okay. So the doctor came in. I remember this. I remember that he gave me a shot, you know, on my butt for the penicillin. And then right after that, like within a few, I'd say 30 to 40 seconds, I started to react to the penicillin. I started to blow up, which is called an epileptic shock. My whole body started to blow up, and my heart stopped. Like, this happened within a minute, okay? And I remember floating above my body, looking at my mom and my dad. That was the doctor there, all kinds of nurses, all kinds of other people there that were trying to resuscitate me. And there's a critical part that I remember oh so clearly, because I've been astral traveling since I was a baby, since I was being abused since I was a baby by my mom. This is how I would check out. I would take off astral traveling, and I always have that silver cord that brought me back to my body, right? So I am floating above, watching this whole soap opera, and the doctor's pounding on my chest, and you know, we're talking 1965. In Mexico, they didn't have paddles. Okay, they didn't come in with the paddles to try and resuscitate you. So they were pounding on my chest, and they weren't able to bring me back. And my mom started crying hysterically. My dad had tears in his eyes, and it was a bad scene. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm floating above my body, and I hear this celestial, beautiful celestial music like I've never heard here on this planet. And I turn around from that scene, I'm floating, and I look to this, and I see this, I still hear the celestial music, and I see this beautiful, like, golden pink, it was more like a pink tunnel, which I really call the birthing canal to the other side. And I was so inviting, because I could feel this energy that was like a magnet pulling me, my soul, my spirit was pulling me in there. And I just went for it. I wasn't afraid. You know, I was like, yay, you know, let's go on an adventure. So I didn't want to stay and watch my parents scream and cry. And, you know, all that was like, for me, too much drama. So I go into this canal, and I just very gently was traveling up through the canal, and I got to the other side. And like they all the people that have had this shared experience where they, I don't really call it a near death. I call it a death experience, and we bring ourselves back. Because my heart stopped, you know, for 5 minutes. That, you're dead, okay? My heart stopped, you know, they didn't have any brain function, nothing like that, you know. And so I went, and I'm standing there with relatives that I've had seen in pictures, my family on my dad's side, but I'd never met them because, you know, you're talking back 1800, 1900, you know, like late 1800s, early 1900s, and they've all gone through the Russian Revolution, First World War, Second World War, because my family originally was from Russia. And they're all there, all his brothers, and I think one, because the two sisters survived. So all the brothers that my dad was the eldest, all the brothers had been killed in these wars. And they were all hanging there with me and telling me stories about my dad. And I met my grandparents on my dad's side and my grandparents on my mom's side, you know, and we were having a great time. And they were telling me all these stories about my dad and telling me nicknames that they gave him and all these things that my dad never, ever talked about. And they told me this, which I thought was kind of odd because I'm, you know, I'm very perceptive. And they go, one day, you'll be able to share this information with your dad, with Samuel is what they call him, because his name was Samuel. One day you'll be able to share it with Samuel, you know, when he's going to need it the most. And I'm like, what do you mean one day? I'm not going back. I kind of looked at him and puzzled, and I was like, I'm not going back there. I'm here. I'm done, you know. And then they were like, no, you'll get to use this someday. You know, and they were very sweet, very kind, gave me hugs and everything. And then all of a sudden, like in the movies where they drop you from one scene to the other, all of a sudden, I'm dropped into this next experience that was what I call creation soup. What people may call the reference of God is what I would have called this flowing ocean of eternity and of creation that is constantly creating, okay? That's creating not only humans and planets, planetary systems and galaxies, but universes. I mean, it's the source, and I have no words for what this is, but what I call creation soup. And I was floating in this creation soup that was the most incredible, magnificent experience of love that I've ever experienced, where I tell people there is no, in that place, there is no duality. So there's no good, no bad, no right, no wrong, no female, no male. There's none of that. There's just this sea that keeps moving forward in creation. And I could have had, you know, for all I know, I could have been floating there with, you know, God knows, you know, people that have killed, done this, done that, and I would have never known the difference because there's no judgment there. So it's opposite to what is in religious texts, and especially some of the Judeo-Christian texts, the Quran, all these different texts that tell you that God is going to come down on you, and he's going to, you know, punish you. None of that exists there. None of that. I'm telling you my own experience, by the way. There was no judgment whatsoever. There was just this incredible, eternal acceptance and such a profound love that I have no words to describe it. And I want that to stay there forever. I mean, this to me is, if people ask me about heaven, that's what I would call heaven. That's what I would call being in that state and floating in that creation soup of eternity and of pure divine love is what I would choose to call the God that actually created all of us. Okay. And I'm floating in this state that was just most magnificent. And right after that, again, I get jumped to another scene, right? Because I wasn't going to leave there. Every time I said I'm not going to leave, I get jumped to another scene. Isn't that funny? And I jump into this room, this beautiful, warm room that had kind of like, you know, the same kind of vibe that tunnel had, the pinkish, luminescent, almost iridescent walls. It was a circular room. You know, there was a table, a marble-looking table with gold, you know, running gold veins running through it. There was these incredible chairs that were made out of, you know, which at the time they didn't have like they do now, the silicone and the plastics, and they could make, you know, transparent chairs out of plastics. It almost looked like glass chairs with this velvety, poofy padding on it that we were all, you know, they invited me to come sit in one of these chairs. And there was a whole room of illuminated beings. Because some of the beings I kind of recognized, you know, that they have spoken about in religious texts. And then some of them were totally unknown to me. But yet they were all like, they all had these beautiful illuminated auras, magnificent beings. And they invited me to come sit with them. Like, you know, I recognized Saint Germain. I recognized Archangel Michael. You know, a lot of the archangels were there. Jesus, but what I will call Yeshua. You know, a lot of ascended masters that you wouldn't even know that ascended. All these beings were surrounding, and the whole room was filled, and there was this luminosity and this love that just poured through them. And the beautiful thing about it is, even in this situation, there was no judgment, and always about there's choice. There's always choice. Like, I get to choose. They weren't telling me, now you must go back and you must do this. And you know, there's no wrathful God, no such thing what I experienced when I died and had those 5 minutes of this incredible experience. And then what happened is that they started sharing with me and telling me that, you know, totally free will, I had the chose to stay there, but that they all knew me very well, and they said, you have a very adventurous soul and spirit that in two Earth years, because there's no time there, in two Earth years, you'll want to go back. And you won't be able to go back to this body that you're in and this situation with these parents, these set of circumstances, you know, that your soul picked for you to learn from. And I was like, I'm perfectly okay with that because I suffered a lot. In my young 5 years that I had, I suffered a lot because my mom was bipolar. She was she had psychotic episodes. She was basically, you know, she'd go back and forth from being insane to being sane, and there was a lot of trauma there. And so I was perfectly happy with staying, and I told him that, and I said, I'm perfectly happy staying here. And, you know, I don't think I'm going to get bored if I can go back to that, what, the last place that I came from. And they were like, they explained to me, they said, oh, that's for very, very advanced beings. That is the place that all of you come to regenerate your body and your soul and your spirit. Isn't that interesting? It's like that's where you get regenerated and you get all of the traumas and all the stuff that you experience in that lifetime to just come right off of you, because that is the creation itself that's rebuilding you. And so I was like, oh, you mean I can't go back there? And they're like, no, that's for very advanced adepts, you know, very, very advanced. And I was asking, like, can you guys go back there? And they said, eventually we all get to be that, to be a part of that, and to be in that soup. They didn't call it soup, but to be in creation. But now we're all evolving, and we all have different evolutionary steps to get there. But the answer was basically no for all of us. You know, they were like, all of us. And I was like, okay. And so, you know, they started telling me how in 2 years I was going to choose to go back. And, you know, and before they do that, they basically said, you know, if you don't go back, your dad is, and this is true because a few months, like it was probably 4 to 5 months after my surgery and that I get back and all that, that he had a major blood clot in his brain. And I actually remoted over to him at 3 o'clock in the morning and healed him. And when he woke up, he only had a little bit, you know, like his lip on the left side was, there was a little bit of saliva running through it, but it wasn't a major thing that would have killed him. And I was like, when they said, he's going to die if you're not there, and I said, great, he can join me. Being pretty selfish, right? They're like, great, he can join me. And they were like, no, he won't. And I was like, well, why not? And then that's when they said, do you remember your family when you first came here, the first experience you had? And I was, yeah. And they said, your family gave you some secrets that your dad has never told you, right? And I said, yeah. And they said, you're going to use that when your dad transitions. You're going to help him transition. And I was like, what do you mean? And they said, well, you know, your dad doesn't believe that any of this exists because my dad was atheist. So he thought he was going to go to the abyss and disappear. That there was going to, he is completely, when you die, you get, you know, totally obliterated and you don't exist. And they explained that to me, and I was like, well, you know, maybe that's his path. And I asked them, I said, but eventually does he find his way here? And they said, yeah, eventually. Eventually he gets tired of that, of creating that reality and creating the void. And then he finally, either something or someone, you know, one of us will go and get him and he'll be open to the idea of coming here instead. And I was like, well, that's not too bad. You know, that didn't really get me. What really got me is when they said, you are, and they did show me, they had a screen where they showed me and they said, in 2 years, you'll go back and this is going to be your circumstance. And they showed me this horrific family that I came to, that the father was the opposite of my dad. He was totally like a petty tyrant, and he beat up the mom that I was going to come to. The mom was sweet and kind, but she was, you know, kind of like a pushover, and he was beating up all the kids, and it was a much worse, and they were all super poor, and it was a really bad situation. And they said, you know, now that we've shown you this, you can see that it's going to be 10 times as bad as what you're in now. And when they said that, the moment they said it's going to be twice as bad, that's right, they said twice as bad as what you're in now, and the moment they said that, I said, I'm out of here. And the moment I thought, I'm out of here, I get zoomed down in this through what I call the birthing canal into heaven, back into my body. And I remember popping out of that birthing canal, floating and landing right in my body. Now, my body was covered by a sheet because they had already pronounced me dead. They couldn't resuscitate me, okay? So they had the sheet over me, and because they hadn't had time to, like, flatten out the bed and take me down to the morgue, you know, because it had only been 5 minutes, and they were in the process of getting all the paperwork done and everything. And all of a sudden, I'm laying, like, sitting halfway up, and I'm in my body, and all of a sudden, I take a deep breath and sit up, and the sheet falls, and my parents just, like, were beside themselves. They were like, oh, my God, is she alive? Because sometimes people do that, and they're still dead. And then I breathed out, and I went, oh. And my parents looked at me and they're, are you okay? Are you here? And my dad came up to me and kissed me on the cheek and held my hand. And I looked at my dad and I said, yeah, I'm fine. Like nothing happened. I go, yeah, I'm fine. And my mom was like crying and being very melodramatic. And I'm so glad you're back. And the nurse walks in on them with me talking to them. And she goes running out screaming, es un milagro, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. In Spanish, you know, and brings the doctor back, and the doctor that actually was trying to resuscitate me calls the neurologist, and this time they kept me in the hospital for 24 hours because they wanted to make sure that my brain didn't get damaged by no oxygen for 5 minutes. So it shows you, it really gives you an idea of how malleable our bodies are and how science doesn't have a clue. Okay, when they say, oh, you know, if you don't breathe for 5 minutes, you know, you're going to be retarded and all, baloney. You know, when we have near-death experiences, it's really interesting how we're able to leave. And I've heard, and I haven't had that experience, but I've heard of people that have been dead for 12 hours. They're at the morgue and they come back into their bodies. How about that? And they're perfectly normal. Like, no brain damage, no nothing. And totally changed. I mean, you come back very changed from this experience. So maybe because I was so young, there wasn't a life review. You know what I mean? Because I was only 5 years old. So there wasn't a lot of damage I had caused to anybody, you know. I was just a little kid. But, you know, it was just really amazing how when I got back and got back into my body, I was a changed person. I was much more mature. I wasn't like an innocent little five-year-old. I was much more, and my precog abilities, all my abilities, like, were through the roof. You know, I already had these. I was born with them, but even more so after this experience. And then the same thing happened when I was 14 years old. I won't go through this long-winded process. It, pretty much, I mean, almost like textbook, the same thing, except for when I sat with the group, and I was there for 10 minutes that time. When I sat with the group for the 10 minutes, they told me there was some beings that I hadn't seen before that said I was going to be their messenger, and that's who I called the Avatar Consciousness Group that I was channeling in Vegas for 2.5 years, you know, that they said I was going to be their messenger, and that there was going to be a messenger, a human messenger, that was going to bring me to that. And that's what happened to me when, was it in 2007? I was 47 years old at that point, you know, or 40. It was actually 2005. So 2005, 2006, somewhere around there, 45, 46 years old when all this came to be. So that was the, and obviously, you know, I really got the thing about my dad, and then I did help him transition, you know, back home to heaven instead of him being stuck in the abyss for forever. So there's
wow.
That experience that
that's
I had.
That's amazing.
And I had it twice. Yeah, and the second time it happened when I was 14 years old.
Yeah. Wow. So so no hell. You didn't see any hell. No fire.
No.
And
nope. That
devil
doesn't exist. Okay.
Horns,
so here's where that exists. That exists in the minds of the human being that's dying. that is what's, because there are people that have experienced that, right? So I'm not going to invalidate that reality for them. There are people that I've talked to that have said that they've gone, like I said, to this dark hole and they don't see anything and everything's black. And then I have talked to people that have near-death experiences that are extremely religious, you know, like extremely, and they've been so hammered that there's a hell, and they thought they were such bad people that they created that hell, you know. And they had, you know, they had the pitchfork devil and they had the fire. I didn't have any of that because I came from atheist parents. So I had no religious context. You know what I mean? So my experience was very unique and not really programmed, you know. And in a way, when the beings told me that in the room, kind of makes sense, right? Because the beings in the room, I always, no matter what my parents believed, I always knew there was something much bigger than us. Okay, I couldn't call it God, I couldn't describe it, but I knew it in every fiber of my being, and that's why I was able to do that journey, you know, as opposed to believing that there's nothing. When my dad would say there's nothing, I was like, no, you're wrong. I can't prove it, but you're wrong. You know, this was before I died twice. But no, Mike, there is none of that. That's all a creation of man to control others. That's all in sacred, in your text, in your religious text, has been put there, unfortunately, by evil humans that want to control others and intimidate them into having those beliefs so that they can control them. Because there was none of that. There was none of, you know, you've been a bad girl and you stole candy at the store. Like I said, as far as I know, you know, and the second time I did have that experience that I was floating in the sea of creation, and then there was this guy here that had killed 20, 30 people. Because I was 14 at that point, and I recognized them, and I was like, it was somebody in Mexico, by the way, not in the U.S., that actually was like a mass murderer that somehow somebody killed him, and he was floating right there with me. He wasn't in hell. You know, so how do you explain that? So all that is what I call religious dogma that programs people into believing that if they're bad, just like Santa, you know, Santa, and people don't realize this, Santa was created in 1925 by the Coca-Cola company, and that's why Santa Claus is red and white. Look it up. Look it up on YouTube and you'll find it. And that's why, and Santa was like a creation to sell more Coca-Cola, and then it became commercialized to sell, you know, and if you're a good boy, you're going to get gifts. If you're a bad boy, you're not going to get anything, you know. So it's kind of one of those. If we're good and we pay our tithing to the church and we do our weekly prayer and we don't, and I agree with, there's a lot of good things that are in these religious texts that we should follow, like the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you. You know, that's pretty much my golden rule, and I don't have to follow any others. You know, but that whole precept of, you know, if you're bad, you're going to go to hell, and you're going to, I wish, you know, in some cases, because there's some very evil people on the planet, but I wish that would happen. But in my experience, that didn't happen. But I do know that tortured spirits, okay, because there's difference between soul and spirit. The soul is the overlaying, like higher, or people call it a higher self, that's what's connected to source. That's what's connected to that sea of creation, to the angelics, to the ascended masters, to the universe. That's our soul, our oversoul is this big, huge being. And then our spirit is what embodies the physical body. And actually, the spirit and the personality are kind of one and the same. Okay? So that is basically what drives this, you know, what I call this meat popsicle, for some people that are like meat popsicles, you know, and I'm just talking about the psychopathic murderers that are on the planet. I call them meat popsicles, psychopathic meat popsicles. But, you know, for those of us that honor other human life, that we honor, like I said, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you, you know, for those beings, they have something in them that internally is driving them, you know, and having them move in a direction where they're not going to hurt anybody or harm anybody. And there is no, I hate to disappoint people, you know, people that are like stuck in this dogmatic belief, you know, that God is a wrathful God, you know, and there is something to that there was an extraterrestrial, okay, that came from, I guess, I forgot the name of them, but Enki and Lil, okay, which were reptilians, okay, and Enki and Lil, it came from that bloodline that there was a wrathful God, which was the higher level reptilians that came to this planet to invade this planet a long time ago. And that's where those beliefs come from. And then they got transfixed or transported into these religious texts that we have today. Because my experience both times, I didn't see any hell and brimstone or none of that. There was no such thing. I mean, I just got transported into the most divine place I could ever imagine. And then I was floating in the sea of creation. And then I was hanging out with the heavens, you know, with the heavenly bodies, the heavenly beings. And then I got brought back here. And, you know, and there was none. And there was, I'm telling you, Mike, when I was sitting with them, they weren't telling me, oh, you've done this bad and you've done that bad. There was no judgment whatsoever. And no, like, you have to go back. Now, I do know from, I forget the name of this doctor that does regressions, like he regresses you to past lifetimes, that there are people that have been regressed that have talked about being in that place that I went to, where they do segregate the very sick, mentally sick, very destructive humans that have caused, like, killed millions here, you know, caused wars, were greedy, selfish, you know, because they get there and they're so messed up. And some of them get repurposed. Spirits totally get repurposed. Their soul still exists, but their spirit evidently gets repurposed, and they have to start like at ground zero again. That's what I've heard, but I've never heard, like, even these people that have been regressed to past lives and that remember being there for a while before they incarnate again, even those people that were pretty high level, what I call pretty high level beings that were talking about how these beings are segregated from the general population, if you like, of spirits that have had rough experiences, but they haven't, like, killed millions and abused and done all that, you know, those people, they get totally, and some of them, like they recreate their spirits get totally, like, wiped out, like a memory wipeout, like we could do with a computer, and start over. But I can't talk to that because I haven't had, you know, a past life regression with this very famous man that lives in Arizona, a doctor that does, you know, past life regressions. I can only talk to the two experiences that I had. That there was no fire and brimstone, no devil, no like evil.
Sonic.
And that's why I tell people in my book, Mike, that we either create our own heaven or we create our own hell when we die.
Right.
By our thoughts.
Let's bring in some, I'm really enjoying this, but let's bring in some callers because we're just almost out of time.
Okay.
We got about 10 minutes. 310 area code, California. Welcome. Can we get your first name?
Yes. Hi, my name is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, how can I help you?
Go ahead.
I had the impression there were going to be readings, so I wasn't sure if that was the case, though.
That's why I'm asking you, how can I help you?
Yes.
It's a one reading, probably only 5 minutes I can spend with you, and it's one question, please.
Okay, yes. I just wanted to know if you foresee me finding another place to live. I've been on the search.
Can I ask you currently where you are so I can kind of remote view it and see?
Yes, I'm in Long Beach, California.
Okay, great. And do you want to stay in the same city or move somewhere else?
Yeah, stay in the same city.
Okay. So I do see the possibility of a couple of places opening up for you. Now, are you looking to, like, rent an apartment? You kind of have to give me a better idea of what you're looking for. Is it a house? Is it a little casita? What exactly are you, like, looking for?
Well, I'm looking just for something in, that I could, that's affordable for me, but just something that's a good space that is, you know, in a good area where there's lots of things to do, things like that.
Okay. Well, I do see that there's some condos available, you know?
Okay.
That you could look at. And I'm, you know, I used to live down in San Diego, like northern part of San Diego. I have never really lived where you are in Long Beach. But I do know that there's quite a bit of condos that are, you know, that people buy them and then they rent them out. They have people
right.
rent them.
Okay.
And there's a situation coming up in a really good area. And I forget the name. I don't have the names of the area. But I guess it's like right in Long Beach, like close to, I have to say close to, either there's like a big shopping mall area close by to that, and it's a very
okay.
nice area, and there's a couple of condos there that are opening up that are affordable, so I would suggest that you start looking there.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, let's go to our next call. And folks, if you have one specific question ready to, because we're short on time, we want to get in as many as we can. Sherry Brown coming up next at the top of the hour. 356-604, welcome. Can we get your first name and your question?
Yes, it's Helen.
Hi, Helen. How are you?
Thank you for the beautiful stories.
Oh, you're
I
welcome.
Wanted to know, will I be reunited with my relationship?
I would need to know at least the first name of your relationship.
Gary.
Gary, okay. I'm tuning into Gary, and I feel like there is a possibility, not a probability, okay? So that's where the difference is. I think that whatever happened between you guys, he really took it to heart. I get that, I don't know if he's a Cancer or what sun sign he is, but he really took it, like, hard and took it to heart. So I think there's going to be a little bit more healing and that you need to offer like a hand in friendship first, you know, and then things can evolve from there. You there, Helen?
Helen, you there?
Keeps cutting out. Keeps cutting out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's
Let's go to our next call. Yeah,
okay.
352, Florida, welcome. Can we get your first name and your question?
Yes, this is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Sonic. Hi, Michael. Real quick, my question is, what do you see happening in the, there's a telephone conference or hearing scheduled that was just scheduled today by my ex-boyfriend's attorney, and
mm-hmm.
I am still looking for legal representation in this case because I had to let my other lawyer go the week before last.
Okay. Right.
And
I remember.
He tried to really do some conniving today. He
mm-hmm.
said the sheriff's department wouldn't, told them that they would not send a deputy out with my ex-boyfriend to retrieve his belongings unless he got a court order from a judge in this county, which is not true. I called the sheriff's department and spoke to the officer who spoke with him. He said, I did not tell them that. That is a lie.
I know.
So
why are you having
this
conversation with them anyways?
With who?
With the judge and with him.
His attorney did this. everything was going smoothly. He contacted me last week, asked if I would agree on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Could Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Bennett retrieve his things with a deputy come with him to supervise because there's a restraining order against him? And I agreed
mm-hmm.
to that time frame. I agreed to everything. Everything.
And he never
clean.
Showed up. She
well,
never showed up?
That's for this coming Friday. He's already not showed up like half a dozen other times. So this is the final
right.
one because of the foreclosure sale's coming up, and he's going to he wanted him to be able to get his things before the sale, and he lost title to the property,
uh-huh.
although he abandoned the property 8 months ago and moved out.
Mm-hmm.
What they're
right.
trying to do is Mr. Bennett wants in the house. My ex-boyfriend wants in the house to go through my things and to invade my privacy.
No,
and
he
that's
can't.
What his attorney's trying to do. That's what his attorney
nope.
put in a false order.
And all you have to – okay, so I hate to do this to you because I have to wrap it up
okay.
here for Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's sake, we probably are going to have a little mini session, you and I, where I can give you specific instructions on what to do next so that they can't come in and bother you. And I've got a huge solution for you. But I can't do it here. It's going to take too much time. It's going to take me about 10 to 15 minutes to do it privately with you. So you'll have to contact me. Like after the show, I have a session from 6 to 6:30. Or schedule a session with me tomorrow, a 15-minute session, and we'll get this wrapped up, and they won't be able to touch you. They won't be able to bother you. They won't be able to come in and do nothing, okay? Seriously.
Okay.
Like, you'll be immune from all this crap. You know, and you can tell his attorney to shove it. And you can tell his attorney that you'll go after him personally for all his personal finances, et cetera. But I can't do that here because we don't have enough time. That's the only reason.
Okay.
So, Cindy, you know how to get a hold of me. This is very important
yes.
that we get this done ASAP before Friday where you don't need any attorneys. And this attorney can kiss your butt, and so can your ex-boyfriend, and he won't be able to come in, and he's not going to show up on Friday anyways. But, you know, you need to protect yourself regardless. So just set up an appointment with me and give me a call, and we'll get this straightened out. In about 15 minutes, we'll get this all set up for you, and you'll be done and ready to go to the races. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Sonny.
You're welcome. All right. Have a great evening.
All right. Thank you, too.
All right, Mike.
All right.
Did we have to
all
wrap
right.
up?
Yeah, that's going to do it.
Okay. Great.
Wrap.
Thank you for a wonderful show. And sorry it took me so long to tell the story, but I think
oh,
it was worth
great.
It for everybody to hear it.
I
yeah.
think so. I agree. All
great.
Right. Well, have a good week, Sonic. We'll see you
Thanks.
Back next week.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Alrighty, everybody. That's Sonic Nova. Stay where you're at, everybody. We have another hour coming with you. We're going to take more calls, okay? So if you didn't get in, next hour, so it's only a couple of minutes away, we're going to be joined with Sherry Brown, Psychic Medium. And Sherry is always, we always have a good time. Lots of laughs and, you know, spiritual exploring. So click on to the next show. Call back in, okay? Just this show's going to end, so all you got to do is redial 347-884-8245. 347-884-8245. Redial, and you'll get back in line, and I'll let you know that this show is going to end in 3, 2, 1. Call back in now.